So good afternoon, everybody. I have to admit that the catalyst for this year, believe it or not, it's not really about Purim, it's about Shabbos. But how can you speak about wine so close to Purim and not mention Purim? As it says, a lesson for Shabbos and Purim. It really began Parshas Yisro. I was learning the halachas of Kiddush, Zachas Yom HaShabbos, the Kacho, the obligation to remember Shabbos by expressing the Kedush of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos. And I took notice about the halachos of what the obligation is to make Kiddush on wine. And then I thought that maybe it's important to understand why is wine so significant. The truth is, anybody who has experienced religious Judaism, it's not a chiddush for them that wine is significant in our religion. As a matter of fact, the Aruch HaShulchan has a Haggadah for Pesach, and he says, we ask four questions Pesach night. How come we don't ask the question, why do we drink four cups of wine? There's two answers. One answer is basically, a Jew never asks a question like that. Because we know that we always have an excuse, not about whiskey or beer, drink wine. We drink wine on Shabbos. We drink wine in the bris. We drink wine at a wedding. We drink wine in Abdullah. We're always drinking wine. But I thought that maybe Shabbos, to understand what really is the significance of wine. Is there some special message? Is there some special lesson? Some special secret? And because of that reason, I'll start with Shabbos. Anything I say about wine obviously can be applied to Purim too, even though as far as Purim is concerned, it's not about Kiddush, maybe it's about drinking wine. I would just mention that many of the major Rishonim point out that when we speak about drinking on Purim, we speak about wine. The Rambam says it clearly. A person has to drink wine. Rashi says has to drink wine. And many Rishonim say the reason is because various reasons, but they drink wine at all the parties, so they drink wine on Purim also. So obviously, drinking wine, not necessarily in excess, but drinking wine, whether it's wine or even my father drink grapes for certain years, there is some, you have to drink something similar to that on Purim. So obviously, any lesson, anything would come out would apply to Purim too. But I like to focus mostly on Shabbos. So the source for all these halachos comes from a Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that Kuvva Amin Aleph. And there the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Zachris Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, you have to remember Shabbos to make it holy. Zachrei Olayayin, and how do you remember it? You have to remember it on wine. So then the Gemara goes on, Eimei Lebel Yom. So the Gemara first assumes that the bigger Kiddush, the more original idea is to say Kiddush in the daytime, and how do we know at night? And the Gemara concludes that really, that on the right level there is an obligation to make Kiddush at night, and in the daytime, that's only rabbinic. However, the Gemara does say, the Zachar, Shom HaShabbos HaKadosh, at the very end, Zachrei Olayayin B'Knisasa. The Gemara says there's an obligation to remember Shabbos on wine when Shabbos comes in. Engel of the Lilo, we know only at night. How do we know the daytime? Zachar, Shom HaShabbos. So, making Kiddush in the daytime is definitely the Rabbanah, it's rabbinic origin. Making Kiddush at night would be a Torah obligation to make Kiddush at night. There's a Machlokes Rishonim whether or not this obligation to make Kiddush on wine, is that also a Torah obligation? Or only rabbinic? Maybe according to the Torah, all you have to do is say Kiddush, say some words, like we do during the prayers, during the tefillah. However, to make the kiddush on wine, that's only rabbinic. And if you look at source number four, so that's Tosfos. Tosfos says that making kiddush on wine is a smachtehi. It's only a rabbinic law, and the Torah, the Gemara mentions a pasuk. That's because sometimes the Gemara will do that when it comes to certain laws that are rabbinic. They'll base it. They will base it on a pasuk. I heard actually from my father. My father explained what this idea is. He says that back in the in the days of Chazal, so the Jews were very familiar with pasukim, and therefore when they would connect Dine de Rabbanan, laws of the Rabbanan. The Psukim was very easy to remember it. Or the Maral says maybe there's a deeper idea of the Psukim where the Rabbanan learned out to base their laws on these Psukim. But it's really a Din de Rabbanan, it's a law of rabbinic origin, and it was just based on a Pasuk. However, Tosfos asks the question that it seems from other Gemarot that maybe the obligation to make, he says, maybe the obligation, he says, and Gemara goes on and they say that when it says that women are mechuyavot in Kiddush, so he says that would only be in the Kiddush itself, but in the wine it's only with the Rabbanan. And he brings a proof from the Maseches Nazir. Now what's the proof from the Maseches Nazir? So the Maseches Nazir deals with those laws. A person who has taken upon himself to abstain from coming in contact with a dead body, a nazir, drinking wine, and cutting their hair. So Mark, we'll come back to this. If you look at source number 5, Gemara mentions the question, Miyayin v'sheikhar yazir, a person has to separate himself from wine and alcohol beverage. So Akumi Boyilei, so Gemara says, this is needed, l'esor yayin misfak yayin v'shus. That a nazir can drink wine, but not only can't he drink wine, but even a wine which is an obligation to drink, he is forbidden to drink. So Gemara asks, so what wine is someone obligated to drink? What was this? So maybe it means you can't drink the wine of Kiddush and Abdullah. So Gemara says, Hare mushba ba'omei lov mehar Sinai. Now there are two ways to read this Gemara. Gemara says that what wine is a person obligated to drink? So the person obligated to drink maybe the wine of Kiddush for Abdullah, and therefore the Torah tells us that the Nazir doesn't drink this wine even though he's obligated. So the way Tosfos, Rabbi Tam, learns this Gemara, and that's in source number 7, Gemara is saying is a person is obligated on a deraisa level to drink wine at Kiddush and Abdullah. Hare mushba ba'omer love me Har Sinai. It comes from Har Sinai. It's not a Torah law. Why would the Torah tells us that a nazir is not allowed to drink wine of Kiddush if the Torah never obligates us to drink wine of Kiddush? The Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says that the Torah is telling us that if a nazir took a promise not to drink wine, then he becomes a nazir. He can't drink the wine even though he took that promise. That's the pasuk. However, but the Gemara is definitely implying, according to the way Tosfos learns the Gemara in source number 6, that there's no Torah obligation to drink wine at Kiddush. And if you go back to source number 4, in the second line, Tosfos says, "Kidmash Resh Nazir." He says, "The Kamer Miyayin B'Sheikh or Yazor Less or Yayin Mitzvah Kiyayin Rishus Uparach My Nihu." What is that? Kiddush of Abdullah, Gemara says, Kiddush of Abdullah, there's no Torah obligation. It does not come from Har Sinai. So he says, so the Gemara finishes off. So he says, the bottom line, he says that the obligation to drink wine at Kiddush and Abdullah is only of rabbinic origin. That's what Tosfos says. And that is actually the opinion of the Rambam. And in general, I always thought that's the accepted interpretation. In general, if you ask anyone in the street, they'll tell you, yeah, drinking wine at Kiddush Friday night, that's forbidden. However, the Tosfos at the very end mentions the Sheet of Rashi. Sheet of Rashi, he says, but all Matzino LeMeimar, the Kiddush Aliyah in the Bar Torah, that making Kiddush on wine is a din d'oraisa, it's a Torah obligation. Drinking the wine is only the Rabbanan, but it's not the Torah obligation to make Kiddush on wine. And the obligation to drink is only the Rabbanan. And then, that is actually the Sheet of Rashi in Maseches Nazir in source number 8. And what the Gemara is saying, when the Gemara says, why would you need a pasuk to tell you you're allowed? The Gemara says you need a pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to drink. The pasuk of Nazir comes and tells you that you're allowed, that a Nazir cannot drink wine. And the Gemara is asking, even wine of mitzvah? How can the Torah tell us that when you're already obligated midiraita to drink wine? So according to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, how can there be a pasuk to tell us a nazir is not supposed to drink wine of Kiddush when that's a Torah obligation? But that really is, that is the opinion of Rashi. Rashi holds, and Tosfos mentions it, that there's a Torah obligation to drink wine also on the night on Shabbat night. It's a Torah obligation. The Ram in source number 10, we'll come back to the Aruch HaShulchan in a few minutes. The Ram in source number 10, he holds that there's a Torah obligation to drink wine on Friday night. And what's his proof? So there's a very famous Gemara, very famous question that's asked in Masechet Shabbat. What happens in the days when there was a lot of poverty and a person can only afford to do one mitzvah? Let's say, for example, a person can only afford to either buy candles for Shabbat, or a person to go ahead and not just buy candles if you look at source number 9, so he quotes the Ran, and he says the Ran says that we have Gemara says, let's say a person has money only to buy a candle for Hanukkah or to spend on Kiddush Hayom. So everyone knows that they have a choice to buy a candle for Shabbat or for Hanukkah. The candles of Shabbat come first. Because of Shalom Bayis, the candles of Shabbat symbolize peace in the house. However, what happens if a person goes ahead and the person has enough money either to buy for Hanukkah, to light a Hanukkah candle, or to make Kiddush? So the Gemara says that really the Hanukkah comes first because Hanukkah is persumaniso of Hanukkah, you spread the miracle. So the Ran asks, what's the problem? He says, you see, after all, the Ran says, how can we push off Kiddush Hayom? Kiddush Hayom is a din d'oraita, a Torah obligation. Lighting a Hanukkah candle is only rabbinic. So whatever the reason is, Kiddush Hayom should come first. So the Ran says that no, on Kiddush Hayom you're able to go ahead and you're able to do Kiddush Hayom on challah, on bread, and therefore you have a choice of doing Kiddush Hayom on bread or near Hanukkah. He says if you can do Kiddush Hayom on bread and near Hanukkah, or you can go ahead and just do Kiddush Hayom on wine and not near Hanukkah. So he says near Hanukkah comes first. We see according to the Ran that midiraita, the halacha seems that you have to make that Kiddush Hayom has to be on something, whether it's bread or wine. And then the Aruch HaShulchan quotes that the Rabban, he holds that it has to be not just bread, it has to be wine. A Torah obligation to make Kiddush Hayom on wine. Okay? So then in Sif Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan is very, very surprising to me. He says, Laniya Daiti Mira, he wants to bring a proof that really we Paskin, that according to Torah law, you have to make Kiddush on wine. Why? He says, because the halakha, that when you make Kiddush, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you have to mention the Exodus from Egypt. And if someone does not mention the Exodus from Egypt, he would not be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Kiddush. That is what the Gemara says. So he says, the problem is like this. If you're going to tell me that you Yotzei the Mitzvah, the rites of Kiddush without wine, and that means you Yotzei the Mitzvah, the rites of Kiddush in davening Friday night in the Tzvilah, because there's no wine, so that means Chazal, the rabbis, made a tefillah where you could not be Yotzei the Kiddush. Why? Because what's missing in the Friday night davening? That's when sorry, we don't mention what? It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says if you could be Yotzei the Oraita, the Torah obligation was just words, why would Chazal leave out the Yetzias Mitzrayim from the Shmoneh Esrei and we would miss an opportunity to be Mekayim the Mitzvah the Oraita right away? So for that reason, the Aruch HaShulchan said, it's the proof. The media right there, you're not Yotzei about wine. And therefore, in Shmoneh Esrei, did not want to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim because he wanted us to know you're not the kind of mitzvah until you come home and you make the Kiddush on the wine or the grape juice according to Rav HaShulchan and anything you want. And he said, and that's the truth of the matter is that he quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, Aruch HaShulchan seems to imply that really you need wine for the mitzvah d'oraita. So I was thinking, and when I saw this Aruch HaShulchan, why? Why is wine so important? So it's true that maybe you can be yotzei of chal. You have to be yotzei on something because when you have something, it makes it more special. But Ravon says on wine, and even according to other shita and other opinions, everyone holds that l'chadchila, the best thing is wine. What is this? What is so special about wine? So the truth is, if you look, when the Gemara says you should mention, make kiddush on wine, so there's a machloket we've shown him why. Why is so important? If you look at source number two at the Shiltis. The Shiltis is one of the first Svarim written after the time of Chazal, after the Gemara. And that was written by Rav Achoy Gaon, one of the Gaonim. Why did he write the Sefer? So it turns out, as I heard, I remember, when I was a freshman in high school, that Rav Achoy Gaon had a son that wasn't so learned, not sure what that means. And he had a hard time. So therefore, he wrote a Sefer to every week at the Parsha. He could go over the certain halachas that were relevant to the Parsha. So in Parsha Yisro, which deals with Shabbat, he says, Uminola the Aldayin, he says, why on wine? Why not bread? The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni of Rabbi Yonasan, Minayin she'ein omrim shira el alayayin. How come you only say shira when we sing on wine? And the Rishonim point out what that meant is in the Beit HaMikdash, when they said shira, we have to understand what shira is. So they would only do it on wine. They would say it in the Korban Nesachim, on the wine libations they pour in the Mizbeach. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'tomerlen ha'gepen ichdalti es tiroshi ha'mesameach elokim v'anoshim. So the pasuk is a certain muscle. The Geffen said, "Have I ever held back from my grapes, which is Mesameach God and people?" So Gemara says we understand how grapes make people happy. They have wine. Wine makes people happy. But the question is, how does wine make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy? He said, because when you sing shira, you sing shira on wine. So for that reason, since you sing shira on wine, that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, because through the wine you sing shira. So we have to understand what exactly is shira. Now, the truth is that the Ran also says that the kiddush that we make is really shira. The kiddush we make is really shira. So why? Because he says, he asks the question. So we make kiddush at night, right? And we make kiddush in the morning. What's the din to make kiddush in the morning? Really, the din to make kiddush in the morning is to make a bracha, bar pri agafen. That's it, bar pri agafen. As a matter of fact, the kiddush in the morning is called kiddush rabba, the great kiddush. And there's some Rishonim say, why is it called the great kiddush? Because it's lashon sadinor, it's euphemism. It's really a very small kiddush. The minhag, the custom of my family, is just to make the bar pri agafen. And people find it very fascinating, actually, because you're used to longer kiddush. I always tell people, the reason why is someone told me, a cousin of a descendant of the Chazan Yossel Rosenblatt, that Friday night, he has a lot of megunim for his mirah and Shabbat, Friday night's mirah. But he has nothing for Shabbos day. He says, why? Because when he came home Shabbos day, what time did Musaf end when he died in Musaf? What time? 2:30, whatever. He said he was exhausted, he was tired. He wanted to make kiddush, he wanted to make a motzi, eat his cholent, and go to sleep. That was the NFT. He was exhausted. They say the same thing. When the Soloveitchiks come home from shul on Shabbos, they're very tired, exhausted, not saying to go to sleep. They have no time for a long kiddush to make bar pri agafen, you know? He says, why kiddush rabba? So the Ran actually asked the question. He says, why did they make a takana to make kiddush in the daytime? Because since the honor of the day, the third line, the source number 10, is Maseches Pesachim Kufa Amar Aleph, so they wanted to make a zecher for the kiddush, so they said the Be'er Parv Geffen. And just Borek Riyad Geffen. That's it. Why? Because that's the Hascholas HaKiddush. And he says, and why? So he says, because since all you say is Shir is all on wine, so he says, so since we're going to start the meal, and we are going to go ahead and make a bar pri agafen, right? It's like we're starting the meal by giving shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the deal, we make the bar pri agafen to say that this is the bracha, which symbolizes shira, and we want to say the shira, and that one bracha is enough. So the Ran, the Shiltis point out that the point of kiddush, and the point of kiddush on wine, is in order to go ahead and to have the shira, to symbolizes that the shira, that the kiddush has to be a certain sense of shira. But let's understand what exactly is shira. What exactly is shira? So if you look at source number 11, this is the Gemara. How do you know that you only say shira on wine? Quotes the pasuk that we quoted, and he says, and Tosfos says there, what does it mean? You don't see. What does it mean that you only say shira on wine? We say shira a lot. So Tosfos says, At what point do we sing Shira in Beit HaMikdash? We don't sing Shira when you sprinkle the dam, when you sprinkle the water. Only when you pour, when you pour the water, only when you pour the wine. Alright? However, we definitely say Shira at other places. When the Am Yisrael shechted the Korban Pesach, they said Shira. But in terms of the Mizbeach, the only time they said Shira is when they poured the wine in the Mizbeach. That's Tosfos Maseches Brachos of Blam Hayam and Aleph. Now, in source number 13, the Sabbath's MS. So he says, this is, what does that mean that you're only Mesameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with wine? Gemara asks the question. Gemara asks the question. How are you Mesameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with wine? Because you say Shira of wine. And he says, even if you don't say Shira, there's a lot of other simcha that you do. Because when you do a mitzvah of, when you go ahead and you do the mitzvah of in korbanos. That's also the Mesameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the korbanot you have the Samach of Hashem Elokecha. And he goes on. And he says, and there's so many mitzvahs that bring simcha. But what's the answer? The answer is, he says, that Shira is a simcha atzuma lelokim. That when you sing Shira, it's a simcha atzuma lelokim. That brings a simcha atzuma lelokim. So we have to understand, what exactly is this great simcha to God that is symbolized by Shira? That according to the Shiltas is the reason why we make Kiddush on wine. So what I'd like to do to understand this is to understand what exactly is Shira. So we translate Shira as song. However, we know that when we speak about Shira, we have to go back to the Torah. What is the Shira in the Torah? So my father, he connected this in many ways, but as we know, that what is Shira? So the Shira in the Torah is Az Yashir, is Hazinu. There are Shiras in Tanakh, Shiras Devorah, after the miracle against Sisera. There is the Shira of David, and when David, you know, was victorious over all his enemies. And what differentiates Shira from the rest of the Torah? If you look at any Shira, almost all Shiras, what you find is that there's more space than words. Now, what does that mean? In general, the Torah, you know, it's straight. However, when it comes to Shira, there is definitely space. Okay, so now, so he says, and the Gemara says, at least according to Rashi, Gemara Megillah, source number 15, that on a Shira you have double space than what's written. Okay, and that double space than what's written. So now, my father asked a question. Look at source number 14, the Shmos Parik Gimel. This is the chiyuv to put on tefillin. L'mantia Torah Hashem v'ficho ki v'yod chazako tiyacho Hashem mi'mitzrayim. So the question is, what does the tefillin have to do with your mouth? L'mantia Torah Hashem v'ficho. You should have a sign on your hand, by your heart. So in order, the Torah Hashem should be in your mouth. What's the connection between tefillin and what comes out of your mouth? So mouth represents communication. And there are really, in a certain sense, two ways that we communicate. Okay, and sometimes we communicate with, as my father says, prose, which means we communicate, we say something. But a lot of times when we communicate, there's emotion, and there should be emotion. Sometimes there's more emotion, and sometimes there's less emotion. A song, Shira, is really in a certain sense when there's a lot of emotion. A lot of emotion. So, in other words, sometimes when we say something, it comes from straight from the intellect. And sometimes a lot comes from the heart, which represents passion. And usually there's a combination of both. There should be a combination of both. However, sometimes it sounds like it's coming straight from the intellect. And sometimes it sounds like it's coming straight from the heart. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us that I want you to put on tefillin, because it still represents something by the head, which represents intellect, and something by the heart represents passion. And then we have to understand that when you are speaking Torah Hashem, so it has to come from the intellect and from the heart. You have to think about it, to be smart, it has to be correct, but also it has to be passionate. And therefore he says there's tefillin to remind us that our words have to come from both places. And it's fascinating that the tefillin shall roast the intellect. So that's the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Davav Mer Aleph. That It's for everyone to see. Everyone sees the tefillin shalosh, the tefillin that goes on our head. But the tefillin shalyad, that not everybody sees. The tefillin shalyad that's hidden, that's only for Am Yisrael. She says, as a matter of fact, if you go, the Gemara says in the Sefer Brachot, source number 16, that the tefillin is strength for Am Yisrael, because the nations will see. Ki ro, baro kol Am Yaretz, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yir v'mecha, the tzidah sir tefillin shalosh. But tefillin shalyad, does not represent strength. Why? So Tosfos points out, because the tefillin shalosh, everybody sees. Tefillin shalyad, nobody sees. So the tefillin shalosh symbolizes intellect, that's for everybody to see. Tefillin shalyad, tefillin by the heart, that's for Am Yisrael. Only we can detect, understand the passion that we have, that we have for Torah Hashem. So that is something very important when it comes to somebody who comes to Baruch Hu. So now, my father explained that when it comes to the Sefer Torah, there is halacha when it comes to the Sefer Torah that you have to go ahead when it comes to Sefer Torah, what we have is the halacha of mukav kivil, that every letter has to be surrounded by parchment, and the halacha is, when it comes to this parchment, that if there's one letter not surrounded by parchment, the Sefer Torah is possible. Even if you have a letter written at the very end of the page, and because of that there's no parchment around it, the letter is possible. Why? It says, because the letters represent the intellect. You know, we say the dibur, and the cloth, the space, represents the passion. So everything has to have some passion. Shira, of course, has to have much more passion. That's Shira. So therefore, when a person says something with passion in Shira, it brings tremendous simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tremendous hamas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's come back and speak about how this applies to Shabbos. I think the reason for making wine, if wine represents Shira, and Shira represents passion, I think what the Torah is telling us, Chazal, the Torah, is it's important to make Kiddush on wine. Because we can come into Shabbos thinking, wow, Shabbos is a mitzvah. Or Shabbos is a mitzvah. However, we make Kiddush on wine when Shabbos begins to remind us that when you come to Shabbos, it's not just a mitzvah. You have to be excited about Shabbos. So therefore, it's not that you have to drink wine in order the wine should make you excited. No, you don't have to drink wine that way. But when you make the Kiddush on wine, you realize this is Shira, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding, when it comes to Shabbos, to look at Shabbos as not just a mitzvah. Even though every mitzvah requires passion. But Shabbos is something that you have to be excited about. And you have to be excited about Shabbos itself. And that's the secret of wine, according to the Shiltas. And according to Ron, when you come to Shabbos, you have to be very excited because Shabbos is coming. And it goes beyond. It goes beyond the food. As a matter of fact, as we know, there's a halacha that the challah has to be all covered up when you come to the house. Why? There are three opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion why we cover the challah up is Deichel Amon, because when the Amon came down on Erev Shabbos, so it was covered by towel on top and towel on the bottom. That is according to, that's one shita. The other opinion is, well, you don't want to go ahead and you don't want to embarrass the bread. What do you mean, how are you going to embarrass the bread? Because, you know, a whole week you always make a mosi first. And now on Shabbos you're going to make a bar prayer gavin first in order not to embarrass the bread, so we cover the bread up. Okay, that's really a lesson for us. The third opinion is the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rashbam holds the reason why you cover the challah is because when you come into the house to make Kiddush, you have to realize that the most special thing about Shabbos, it's not the challah. As a matter of fact, the Rashbam points out, it's not any of the food. No matter how good the food is, the most important thing about Shabbos is it's Shabbos. It's Kiddush. And therefore, you go ahead and you cover up the challah. And I can tell you, my father, in his house, there was nothing on the table besides challah when he made Kiddush on Friday night. And the challah was covered up. And when he would go to a hotel, he would go to yeshiva and they had cucumber salad on the table. It was all covered up. You come to the table, sometimes you come, there's like seven salads on the table. There'd be everything covered with napkins. Why? Because that's the point of Shabbos. The point of Shabbos is to be excited about Shabbos. And even though in the midst of Omer Shabbos, and it's all very important. We have to come in realizing there's a special excitement to Shabbos, and that's the point of making Kiddush over wine. Why? To remind us that Shabbos is like Shira. It requires passion, it requires excitement. That's the secret of Shabbos. So keep that in mind, on that, we can be more excited about Shabbos. That would be our opinion according to the Shulchan. That the point of Shabbos, of taking wine on Shabbos, is in order, and Shabbos morning is for us to realize that there's something very, very special, very, very special about Shabbos, and just to be excited. I remember my father had an opinion, and the Rav also, that a person, just say during Sfiras Omer, right? Sfiras Omer entering the 3 weeks, without getting over the Hagim, what a minute is, but my father felt, and my uncle, that a person shaves every year of Shabbos. They should shave during the Sfiras Omer, during the 3 weeks. And even if Shavuos is Tisha B'av is a Nidcha, and Tisha B'av is really on Shabbos, you should shave Erev Shabbos, Lechavot Shabbos, that was their opinion. And he once said, I don't care if someone is stuck in some hotel where there are no non-Jews, no Jews around, in the being a room, you still should dress Lechavot Shabbos. Why? Because to be excited. Shabbos is something special. And therefore we come in the house, we make Kiddush and wine. Remember, wow, this is symbolized. Remind us that Shabbos is supposed to be a Shira. What does it mean? Let's say someone doesn't want to sing. Some people don't like to sing. Alright? They don't have to sing. My father didn't really sing so much. At least most of his life he didn't sing. But still, even about singing, he could still be excited. It's something he's passionate about. He says, well, it's more than just a mitzvah. It requires a little excitement. Shabbos requires a lot of excitement. And that is the lesson, according to the Shultis, of why we make Kiddush on wine. That's according to the Shultis.
I was going to say that there's another reason. That's Hilchos Kidma B'Brocha. If you have bread and wine, so you require the Pihalocha to make the Brocha on bread first.
On bread first, but it's economic. So that could be, but here, because Kiddush is special, you would make on Kiddush also. I once heard that I think from Shrapa Fabian Mendelovich said, back in the story, that he says, what, did you ever see a challah getting embarrassed? The point is for us to realize, not to embarrass somebody else. Because that's according to the Shultis. Tosfos has a different opinion. He says, why do we make Kiddush on wine Friday night? Why? He didn't make Eron Shiloyayim. So if you look back, I'm sorry, at source number 3, so Tosfos says, because you're supposed to remember Shabbos. What's the idea of remembering Shabbos? What does it mean to remember Shabbos? Well, remember Shabbos in a certain way, that Shabbos should be celebrated in a certain way. So what does it say? The Tzchirat Tziv Aliyayin, because when it comes to remembering, it's mentioned next to wine. Zachru Kiyayin Levanon. Remember Kiyayin Levanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking about what he's going to do for the Jews in Mirz Hashem, when it'll be good for the Jews. I'll remember you like the Yayin of Lebanon, and Naskirei Gozayit Miyayin, I'll remember your love more than wine. Okay, so obviously if you want to understand the point of wine, you have to understand these tukim. So if you look at source number 18, it's a Hosea, it's a pasuk in Hosea, Perik Yudalit, pasuk Ches, HaKadosh Baruch was talking about the reward that's going to come to the Jews. In the future, we'll sit in his shade, Yichyu, the dog of you, will flourish, Kigefen Zichro, Kiyang Labanon. What does Yang Labanon mean? So the Radak points out that Yain Levanon is the best, he says, is the best wine. And he says the best wine for smell and for taste. So and it, he says it's the best wine for smell and for taste. So I was thinking, what's the idea of the smell of wine? What does that symbolize? The smell of wine and maybe the taste of wine. What does the smell of wine symbolize? So I was thinking, you know, what a good smell symbolizes the fact that people want to be near somebody. If someone has a bad odor, you want to stay away. A nice odor, a pleasant odor, people want to go and they want to be near a pleasant odor. And I think that maybe the idea of wine, according to this and Shabbos, symbolizing Mekadosh Shabbos, Shabbos should be done in a way where it's very pleasant to be there on Shabbos and to be with you on Shabbos. What does that mean? There's a very famous Gemara in the second Shabbos of Kufi Testament Aleph. Very famous Gemara. Gemara says, Amar lo Kesel of Yeshua ben Hananya. So, you know, I remember seeing a story as a kid. The Caesar's walking around, you know, a Jewish town, and he passes by a house. And all of a sudden the smell of the chicken soup comes outside the door, and he smells the chicken soup, and he says, wow, this smells so good. I remember seeing the story, alright? You know, and as you get older you realize, Caesars did not go for walks in town smelling chicken soup, alright? But he says, why does the tashil of Shabbos taste so good? Why is the reyach so no dip? So he says, we have a tavlin echad, yeshlanu, we have a spice, the Shabbos Shemo. And the name of this spice is Shabbos. Sh'anu matilam l'tocho, that we put into it, the reyach no dip. And the smell is very strong, it's pungent. He says, tamarlo, tnulu menu, give me it, amarlo, kol hamashabar the Shabbos, anyone who keeps Shabbos, molo, it helps them. You want this tashel of Shabbos? You have to keep Shabbos. And it's a great story, okay? So the food on Friday night is delicious, which is true. But I don't want to say God has been any heresy. But I'm not necessarily sure that the best food you have in the week, you know, the Shabbos food, might be very honest, okay? Like, if you're honest, let's say, for example, first of all, I'll give an example. You know, I enjoy my most favorite cup of coffee. It's Shabbos morning, but it's not like during the week. On Shabbos morning, it has to be a koshlishi. You know, it's not done the same way. It's not, I don't have a filtered cup of coffee on Shabbos morning. Or you have a steak during the week. You don't have a steak on Shabbos. What does this more mean? Or as one of my friends once said to me, you know, at least back when I was a kid, so the chicken soup was made on Shabbos. By the time you got to Friday night, it was very fatty, right? He says, but Sunday night leftovers, you took the fat off, was much better. Okay. So what does this Gemara mean, the best food? So I thought, I guess I saw this, what's shot in this Gemara? Shot in the Gemara is the Kaisner heard about Shabbos, and he saw the Shabbos environment is an amazing, amazing environment, okay? As a matter of fact, Erev Shabbos, there seems to be always something always going on that's trying to push us to arguments and machlokes, the Gemara says. And that's why we sing Shalom Aleichem. We want peace to come to our house. And Friday night, if things go well, which Mitch said they should most weeks, peace and harmony settle over the house. And so I'm looking into, I would say, a normal, functional, religious Jewish house on most Friday nights should be very, very impressed. And the Kesha said, wow, how do you do that? It's amazing. He says, I have what's called a tashil of Shabbos. What does a tashil of Shabbos mean to me? What's a tashil of Shabbos? He says, you keep Shabbos. I have a taste of Shabbos. If you want to experience the Shabbos atmosphere, you can only do it if you keep Shabbos. Only, that's it. And that's the idea of maybe then what's and people want to hang out with people who keep a spirit of Shabbos. You know, I remember sometimes you go into someone's house and people are screaming at each other and you never want to go back there again. You never want to go back. Who wants to go to such a house? He says, it doesn't make a difference how the food tastes. He says, you want to come where you see there's peace and harmony. He says, where there's a good smell, a good odor. So wine symbolizes a good odor. Something which goes, which somehow or another will stay with you, will be with you. You want to be with them. And that's another message of Shabbos you make on wine, because you want the smell, the good smell of Shabbos. The good smell, the good odor, the pleasant odor where people want to be around. You have to have Shabbos to be something where people want to go ahead and people want to be near you. That's the kind of Shabbos you have to have. And that's obviously one of the ideas, the idea that we sing Shalom Aleichem. For those who sing Shalom Aleichem is, we're trying to send a message, it has to be Shalom in the house. That's a true Shabbos. And then the Radak mentions the taste of Shabbos. What's the taste of Shabbos? The taste of Shabbos is the idea that when you taste something, so taste stays with you, or it should stay with you. And the idea of Shabbos is that you have to create a Shabbos where the Shabbos is going to stay with you. You know, we say in the Kiddush, Vayavarach, Hashkadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day. What does it mean to bless the seventh day? What does that mean to bless the day? After all, we understand to bless the person. You want to bless the business. How do you bless the day? My father explained that what's really a bracha? What's a bracha? What's a blessing? says, you know, we have a blessing where Yaakov Avinu blessed Ephraim Menashe. That B'chol Yibarich Yisrael, all Jews will bless their children to be like you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Abraham. That the Nivruchu B'chol Kol Mishpachos Adama, that all the families will bless their children through you. A true blessing is when people are like you. That's a true blessing. His Shabbos has to be blessed also. That what? That when Shabbos ends, Shabbos doesn't go away. Shabbos stays with you throughout the whole week. And therefore, it has to be like a taste. A taste really is supposed to stay, to remain. And we have to mention, when you're Makadosh Shabbos, sanctified Shabbos, it has to be sanctified in a way where the Shabbos stays with you. As a matter of fact, the Gemara which says, if the Jewish people would keep two Shabbatot, Mashiach would come. He says, my father said, this is two Shabbos. Why not put on fill in 2 days? Why not daven twice in a row? He says, no. He says, you keep two Shabbatot, that means you keep Shabbos, and you keep after Shabbos. The spirit of Shabbos stays with you. That's the idea. That is the idea of the taste of Shabbos. And that's when you make Kiddush, to keep that in mind. That's how you celebrate Shabbos. Okay. So that's enough then. And then the other pasuk, which the Tosfos quotes, the very famous pasuk, Naskirei Gadech Miyayim. So the Malbim points out in source number 22. You want to remember your love more than wine. So even more than wine. Think that Ramadan says, they're saying that the love we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest in the world. It's even the greatest, greater than wine. So what does wine symbolize for us in the physical world? A good wine symbolizes the greatest pleasure, the greatest enjoyment. And therefore, I think we have to feel when Shabbos comes and understand that this is the greatest pleasure that a person can have. To realize when Shabbos comes in, be excited, but also realize this is the greatest pleasure a person can have is Shabbos. And then one last point. So there's a Gemara in the Sefer Shabbos of Stam Zayin Lamedbet. It's a fascinating Gemara. Source number 23. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva. There was an incident of Rabbi Akiva. She'asah Mishum Livno. He made a party for his son, probably a wedding. Valkol kos v'kol shehevi, in every single cup that he brought, Amar, he said, Chamra v'chayel from Rabbanon, Chaya v'chamel from Rabbanon, from Tavidehem. Wine and life to the rabbis, life and wine to the rabbis, and to their students. And to their students. So, the Forshim, not the Forshim, but the contemporary people of the Forshim say today, that that's the source for saying, v'chayim, when you drink, v'chayim, life. What's the idea? What's the idea of drinking it? So there's a fascinating Dr. Kanan. The Dr. Kanan says, what's this idea of Rabbi Kiva's talking about? And we say L'chaim. Dr. Kanan talks about saying L'chaim, right? He says, actually, as we know, that at least amongst the Sfardim, now here's Shavlin also, that when they say Sabri, the Sfardim scream out L'chaim. Okay, this is a source which goes back hundreds of years. He says, L'fishin of Dr. Kanan says, Lefishin Niklasam Misal Adam, since death since death came to man because of wine, we know that according to one shot in Chazal, the Eitz Hadas was a Geffen. Okay, and we know that other times things happen because of wine. Noah sinned with wine. We know that what happened with Lot with wine. So therefore, if wine can bring death, Nogua Olam. The Olam has a custom, Kishamavarech B'tzibur. When Saul makes the brach of B'tzibur, Omri Sabri Maranon, Behem On, everyone answers L'chayim. He says, V'chayim Matzino B'shilim Me'isha, Ma'isib R'vikiv R'vikiv Ash'asa Mishal Livno, Bal Kokos B'kos Omar Cham R'vikiv L'chayim Rabbanon, L'chayim Tomidayim. So it seems kind of strange that really when we drink wine, we remember the death that it caused, the problems that it caused, and for this reason we say L'chayim. So I was thinking that if that's the case, so wine really teaches us that something happened that was bad, but we have to learn to appreciate what we have. That since wine caused death, you say l'chayim. And since wine caused death, Rabbi Kiva was saying, chamer b'chayim. What does it mean? You are alive, watch yourself, and appreciate what you have. That's what wine is. That's what wine symbolized, to appreciate it. That's why Rabbi Kiva says, chaya chamer. He says, wine and life, appreciate wine and life. Remember what they had. And maybe for that reason, actually, we made basically a, there's a halacha that if Chazal and Masaki in the Baruch of a Tova Meitiv in Birkat HaMazon, after the Jew, what happened was when Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Romans did not allow the Jews to bury the Jewish dead. And it was a very big miracle that the dead did not decay. And then finally, when he got permission to go ahead and to bury, right, there were Masaki and Tova Meitiv. Why? Because whatever's going on, it's very, you see, it was a terrible tragedy. But at least to appreciate the fact that you're able to bury the dead and you're able to move on. And we make the same brach on wine. Why? Again, because wine is about appreciation. It's time to appreciate what you have. And I think that maybe that's also the message of Shabbos. The message of Shabbos is to appreciate what you've done. What is it, what you've done? Shabbos in the anal, what happened in the first Shabbos? HaKadosh Baruch created the world and he rested. What does it mean he rested? I don't really know, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked back at the world and said, this is what I created in 6 days of creation. Right? So for that reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated what he did, and that's the same thing of us in Shabbos. Our day of rest on Shabbos is to appreciate what we've done for the first 6 days. And that's why Shabbat is a glimpse of Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is also to appreciate what we have done what we have done in the previous world. So Shabbat comes in, we're supposed to say, okay, make kiddush on wine. Wine is about appreciation. Shabbat is a day to appreciate what you've done and what you have. It's a chance to sit back and really appreciate it. Just to quickly summarize, it'll take 2 minutes. Basically, the point of the shiur was, what's the point of wine? When you're sitting down on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, you know, when you're sitting down, even on Purim, a little bit. What's the point of wine? What's the secret of wine? So according to the Shiltis, wine teaches us to sing Shira. We're supposed to go ahead and have a sense of passion, to be excited about something. It's not just Stam and Mitzvah Shabbos. And then according to Tosfos, he points out wine has a reach, a smell, a good odor, a pleasant odor. Shabbos is a pleasant odor. People should enjoy to be a Shabbos. Our behavior should be led according to that it should be a pleasant Shabbos. People should want to enjoy Shabbos. The taste, it should stay with you. And also we have to look at Shabbos as the ultimate pleasure. And then to really appreciate what we have. And I'll just finish off that I think that when we speak about Purim, the point that I gave a share on this last year, about what's our approach on Purim is to be relaxed. But, you know, I always say that when you come down to the Suda on Purim and you spend the whole day doing mitzvahs, it's time to be proud of us. And you're supposed to have a certain feeling, a certain satisfaction. And that's symbolized by the wine also. But it's not an obligation, you know, on any level, to really an over excess. The wine is supposed to remind us. The wine reminds us to have passion. The wine reminds us that we should. It should be a pleasant day. People want to be with us. We should celebrate the day in a way where it will remain with us. And also, the day should be a day where we see it as the ultimate pleasure. And of course, a day to appreciate what we have. And that really is the message of Shabbos, to look back and appreciate what we've done, what the Kodesh Baruch has given us. And that's why today I came up with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone's have a wonderful day.